Blog Talk Radio.
Another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Lil Lisa J. Williams.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome, 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 and happy upcoming Mother's Day to all of you mothers out there. If you are a mother, we want to wish you happy Mother's Day coming up. We know the next time that we see you here on the show, it will be after Mother's Day. But we want you to and hope you have a great and wonderful, wonderful Mother's Day celebration. If you're not a mother and you're able to still celebrate with your mother, if your mother is living, we certainly hope you have a great celebration. Or if you have someone that you're going to celebrate with that's like a mother, or if you've been a mother to someone like a mother, well, we thank God for you. We appreciate you. We know that your work is not easy. But to all the mothers that we know regularly tune in, we want to give you an especially exciting Mother's Day wish, including, but not excluding, Miss Virginia Dancy, Miss Patricia Martin, Hope Harper, Miss Adele J. Foster, Miss Barbara Calloway, Denise Jenkins, all of our mothers in the Dallas, Texas area that have tuned in, to Mr. Versi Walker's mom, and to so many others. Oh, Miss Kiva, Miss Kiva Renee, God bless you, and just many of the other mothers that we don't know your name, but you tune in regularly to the show. Miss Saeed Brown, we know some names of some people that have tuned in. Well, God bless you. God bless you to all those who are like mothers. Miss Tina Lane, we know you have definitely mentored many of your nieces and your nephews, and you have played a very, very important role in the shaping and the development of these children. this day. It's a very special day and very time for most everyone, you know. I think back in the day, that song by the Intruders, "I'll Always Love My Mother. She's my favorite girl." And, you know, he said something right after that. The lyrics remind us that you only get one. You only get one. And, yes, while that is true in the natural, but in the spiritual, you can have more than one. You can have multiple mothers. And I know my mother, who passed on in 2005, but I have many, 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 many women who mother me. And what I mean by that, these are women who help to develop and shape my personality, my character, my integrity, my life, my education, my knowledge. These are individuals who help to shape us. A mother helps to shape a child emotionally, psychologically, and even contributes in a large, large part to their physiological environment. You know, it's the mother who makes sure that you have a roof over your head and you're safe and you're comfortable. These are the things that a mother, just the few things that mothers do. So we know mothers, they do quite a bit. And we have every reason and every right to celebrate you on to this whole weekend. And definitely Sunday is your day. But I know many people have already begun to go to events. So even starting today, I know for me, I'll be going a little bit later to Grandparents Day over to my grandson's school. But then there are others who have celebrations all day tomorrow. There are events starting as early as breakfast, luncheons, dinners, you name it, it's going to be happening. It's going down this weekend. So this weekend, if you are a mother or you're with the mother, you're celebrating, you're going out to dinner, maybe you're taking your mother or the person who has served in that mother's role for you. So we truly, truly, truly celebrate you. But I want to talk today about the power of intention. The power of intention. And I want to talk about your intentions are determining your direction. Where you end up was once an intention. It was just once a thought, what you were thinking about. So we want to make sure that as we're developing our personal lives and our professional lives, as we're developing as leaders, as we're launching to our next, I want to say level, but I'm almost inclined to say our next dimension, where we're going, where we're headed. As we go there, we must take time to understand what our intentions are. If your intentions are to be wealthy, to be secure, to be safe, to be in a wonderful relationship, to be happy in the relationship that you're in. Maybe the relationship that you're in is good, but maybe it could be better. You want to make sure that your intentions are on the right track. So we want to just look at, you know, just exactly what do we mean by your intentions, and how can you take control of your intentions? And you know, there's a lot of people that have done a lot of work in this area, and a lot of it is based on, you know, the law of attraction, for those of you who end up seeing that movie. But your intentions are based on, what is it that you want to do? What do you set your mind to? You know, what do you think about? Where are you setting your thoughts? There's power in your intentions. There's power in your intentions. You need to learn now how to create your intentions. You know, they are a very, very powerful way to get the things that you want in life. Okay, it guides our direction, creates for us a new reality. If you see, there's one thing about it. If you don't like the way your life is going, if you don't like it, the way it's going or the way it's been, you must get the power to change the future. You must start today to change what it's going to look like. Now, I can understand if it's not what it should be right now. It's not what you know, you're not really happy with it. Then it's time to take a stand so that you can see your dreams manifested in your life. There is no reason that this should not happen for you, but it's going to take some effort on your part. And one of the efforts, one of the things that you have to do is master your intentions. You see, like for some people, they want to change jobs. Maybe that's your situation. You see, some people, maybe they don't want to change jobs. Maybe they just want to do better at the job that they already have. You know, most people who, let's say, for example, you know, you have an intention to get a job. Most people want to start with the intent to have a better job. As one doesn't satisfy anymore, you see. And if you move on from something that you don't like to something that you prefer, you may deny yourself the current situation. So in order to make successful intentions, it's important to deal with where we are. And see, that's been a lot of people's problems. They want to go on to the next thing before they've even analyzed and fully addressed where they are. You see, understand that you created the situation where you are. So if you go on to the next thing without knowing why the thing you're in has made you unhappy, guess what's going to happen when you get to the next place? You're going to end up probably being unhappy again. So we have to get to the point where we understand that we have to take full responsibility for our current situations. Now, a lot of people, they get caught up in comparing, you know, now with the past. But what you need to look at is where you are, what is surrounding you. Evaluate the current situation. For instance, like we said with the job, look at what do you like about the job. What do you want to improve in your next job? See, before I left my last job, I looked at what were all the things that I wanted, that I would keep about the job, what parts I did not like about the job, what parts fit me very well. I assessed it. Because if I had not done that, if I had just said, oh, I don't like this job, I want to leave this job, I don't like this job, and then just get up and take another job, I could end up in the same situation 6 months from then, a year from then, 2 years from then. But no, not to do that. Same thing in a town. You may want to leave that town and say, I want to move, I want to move, I want to move, and not really assess what it is about you or that particular place where you are. What are your intentions? So we're talking today about the power of intentions to help you secure the life of your dream. And I believe that if everyone would take the time to deal with this issue, to understand truly the power of intention, don't just dismiss it because you think of The Secret or the Law of Attraction or something that you may not believe in. Don't just dismiss it because of that. No, I want you to actually think about it. what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying and actually put it into practice. Again, before you, let's just say, what are your intentions? What do you intend to do? What do you intend to have? What you're going to get is going to be based on your intentions. So again, in the situation with, let's just say, you say, I want to change a job. Well, just to get up and change the job without addressing the situation could end you up in the same situation where you're at. Because remember, where you're at is created by your own intentions. Remember that. Your thinking is what takes you to your destiny. So if you look at your current situation without any judgments, you will empower yourself. But only from a natural standpoint can you make a powerful new decision. And this new decision will be based on deliberate intent instead of reaction to your circumstances. Again, you don't just get up and jump and run to a new job. Now, this is where, you know, you will become free and your free will can come into place. And, you know, God has given you the free will to make your life a success. He says, I give you power to get wealth. He says, I give you the gospel of good success. It's like the gospel. In other words, it's truth. You becoming a success in life is truth. T-R-U-T-H is the truth. You know, young people say, boy, that's the truth. This is the truth. You have the right to a successful life. But there are some keys that you may have missing. And you want to be able to manifest that life. So now, again, you look at, just to say if it was a job, but you could use your home, you could use a relationship. You're not going to see so many people, they end up in a bad relationship. Why? Because they got out of another bad relationship. And in between the leaving, they never assessed what their intentions were in the first place. Okay? Some people, their intentions were not on point. They didn't understand the power of their potential. So in the job situation, you would ask yourself those kinds of questions. What would be the perfect job for me? What would I like to feel in my next job? What am I good at? Can you believe people actually don't ask these questions before they take a job? They just, most people, all they want to know when it comes to a job, what do you think the number one question that most people ask when it comes to a job? Not, what do I like about my current job? Or not, what would I improve in the job that I got? Not, what would be the perfect job? They certainly don't ask that. I was talking to some college students on Wednesday. And, you know, college students are very bright, very smart. They don't always understand the perfect job for them. They don't even ask that question. So what is the number one question that you think people do ask, people do consider when taking a job? Okay, well, I'm going to give you the answer. Since you're shy and you don't want to answer, I'll give you the answer. The number one question that people want to know about the job is, what does it pay? That's all they're concerned about, is the pay. Not so much concerned about, is this the perfect job for me? Now, if they have a college degree, they will ask a question, is this job in line with my degree? But here's the thing. For any degree, there's typically anywhere from 5 to 25 different jobs that that degree has prepared you for. But some people, they just take the one concept of a particular job, and that's what they go for. And then they live a life where they never truly manifest their fullest potential. They never quite live up to their fullest potential in life. They live, in other words, at best, a very mediocre life. And at worst, they're just living substandard, sub-below. And what happens with that person is that now they have to do so many other things to make their life feel successful or to make themselves feel happy and fulfilled when they could have done it naturally by asking asking themselves, what is it that I really want to do with my life? And then acting out the steps intentionally. So I want you to write down the answer to these questions, and I want you to start to craft a few full sentences out from your answers. And I want you to include all the positive points, and I want you to make these sentences as precise as possible. So it might read something like this. For me, this is what I had to actually look at. My next job is exciting, you see. It flows with me, you know. It makes me happy, and I am able to learn and grow with it. See, that's what it's, you know, that's before you start. You know, I'm working with some women and helping them job hunt. And, yes, they're unemployed. Yes, it appears that they're in a desperate situation. They may have a heavy financial burden. They may have heavy financial obligations. They have children and family members to care for. They are unemployed. They are desperate. But it's the same concept. Again, if you don't take the time to look at what it is that you need. See, Abraham Maslow, I love Abraham Maslow, and I know he came up with this theory years ago, but I still love his theory of meeting, of motivation and success. He talks about living up to your fullest potential, and he says that there are needs that you have that need to be met. And so you can take a job and still have not met that personal need of job satisfaction. Therefore, you're going to get on that treadmill, and you may go on that treadmill for 5 years, 20 years, 40 years, maybe longer, maybe longer. Well, today is your lucky day. It is your day to get off the treadmill of just working on a job and then always being in that state of flux where you are wanting the next job or not happy with your current job. And not being fulfilled, not growing, and not, and here's the saddest part, here's the part that's really devastating, not living up to your fullest potential. And everyone's potential is different. You don't have to live up to my potential. You don't have to live up to Pat's potential. You have to live up to your fullest potential, meaning that you are self actualizing. That's what Abraham Maslow called it in his hierarchy of needs. He says you're self-actualizing. That means you've taken the time, you know who you are, you know what you want, you know how you want to feel, you know how fulfilled you want to be, and you are living your life day by day with intentions, the power of intention. Now, some of you are familiar with the teachings of Dr. Wayne Dyer. And by the way, he is on Facebook, and we certainly appreciate you for also following us on Facebook and keeping up with all of our seminars and workshops where we're going to be teaching people how to start and run a small business. So look for those seminars coming to you very, very soon in Newark, New Jersey. Also, some will be done via internet, Blog Talk Radio, YouTube, you name it. But also look for the empowerment seminars where we're going to be teaching on the major 8 power strategies, like power principles, like the power of intentions, the power of affiliation, the power of success, the power of overcoming negative people, the power of forgiveness, okay? The power of wisdom. We're going to be teaching on these power principles over the next, you know, several weeks. You'll find out about it. So please follow us on MySpace, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Meetup. You can find us on these sites, and you can keep up with what we're doing. But the power of your intentions. What are you intending? Now, done writing those precise sentences about what you want. And again, it doesn't have to be job. It could be relationship. You could be in a relationship where you may say, in this relationship, I want my relationship to be fulfilling, fun, exciting. I want us to go to recreation together. I want my husband and I to sit down and chit-chat, you know, speak it out. Come on, get it out, get it out. Don't leave it locked inside. I want my relationship to be one where it's a mutual understanding, a mutual agreement. I want a relationship of respect. Speak it out, because if you don't, you're going to fall into the trap of what you already have. Because remember, if you don't change, nothing changes. If you don't change, nothing changes. Now, when you're done, you're going to take that list and you're going to read it out loud. Okay? And if you find that as you're reading it and speaking it out loud, that if you're having trouble speaking it or committing it to memory, then it is not yet ready. So that means you need to go back to the drawing board, so to speak, and redefine it. Take more time to really spell it out in minute terms. Right? Now, here's some things that as you're creating this intention board, I'm going to be working with women around the country to help them create what I'm calling your intention board. So, you know, people have made their dream boards and other things. Well, we're going to make the intention board and help you make your intention board where you're going to have your positive words, okay? So, in other words, in terms of the kind of job you want, like right now, the level where I want to be with being a motivational speaker, I'm going to speak that out in positive terms and with a time frame. So I'm going to be here by this time, all right? And we got to get rid of any negativity. Get rid of the negativity. Be precise, because I'm basically ordering myself and telling myself what I'm going to do. Now, I did this all throughout college. It worked perfectly. Believe me, I know this works. Trust me. I would not be on international radio telling you to do something that I did not think would work. I know it would work, and it looks like I have a caller, so I'm going to take this caller's question or comment. Caller, area code 908, you're on the air. Good morning with Coach LaLisa.
Good morning, LaLisa. This is Bill Collins calling in.
Good morning, Bill Collins. How are you?
Very good, and you?
Wonderful. Go ahead.
Yes, I've spoken to Minister Patricia Peters-Martin.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Okay. So, great, great, great. Well, we're glad you made it this morning.
Thank you. So, thank you.
Yes, yes, yes. Wonderful, wonderful. So tell us what, you know, I'm so glad she invited you. Tell me, what business are you in? And what product or service do you have?
Well, I'm a real estate broker here in New Jersey, in Plainfield, New Jersey, Scotch Plains area. And we provide services to those who are looking to invest in real estate, as well as those who are looking to divest of their real estate holdings. We have a foreclosure division, a short sale division, and a commercial division as well. So we
offer
a full spectrum of services.
Wonderful, wonderful. And what's the name of the agency?
ERA Queen City Realty in Scotch Plains, New Jersey.
Okay, okay. Wonderful. Well, you know, that is really, really good to know, because, you know, sometimes people not only want to purchase real estate, but people sometimes also want to sell real estate.
Right. Especially now, there are a lot of people who need to sell. And so For those who are in what they call an upside down situation where they owe more on their mortgage than their home is currently worth, there are options of a short sale, and I head up the short sale division, and that's what we specialize in helping them with.
And how does that happen? How does a person end up in that situation, typically?
Well, basically, it's a condition or byproduct of the market. Right now, there are so many homes on the market that the prices are depressed.
Okay.
And the prices are so depressed that they're depressed beyond the mortgage balances that are currently owed on a number of properties. So when individuals go to seek refinancing, they find out that the house that they paid $300,000 for is now worth $225,000. They're upside down by $75,000.
Wow. That is a shame. So, and even though they've paid, you know, on their loan, that doesn't help at all?
That doesn't help at all. In point of fact,
wow.
If there are some people who've gone to apply for a line of credit or to refinance, mm-hmm. to pull money out of the home to do repairs or take care of some other personal issues, and their credit could be stellar. They could have been paying their monthly payment on a regular basis on time. But if they don't have equity in their home as a result of market conditions, they're going to be denied the loan or the line of credit.
Wow. Well, you know, and thank you so much. We're talking right now with Mr. William Collins, Mr. Bill Collins. He's a realtor, real estate agent, and also you said you do mortgage.
We do short sales through ERA Queen City Realty. We also help those who are looking to invest, if they're looking to buy foreclosure. That's something we can help with as well.
Excuse me. Individuals who are looking, let's just say if they were looking to invest and purchase a house that is in foreclosure, what kind of advice would that person receive?
Well, basically, their process is a lot less complicated. What a lot of people don't understand is that when you're buying a foreclosed property that's handled by a licensed real estate professional, that property is free and clear of all encumbrances before title is passed on to the consumer. Unlike a sheriff's sale at the courthouse steps, when you buy that property at the courthouse steps, you're buying it with all the liens that you're aware of and unaware of. In the notices that they place in the newspaper, they're not obligated to tell you about every little lien. They're primarily telling you about the amount that's owed to the mortgage company and perhaps any other liens that they might be aware of. But any liens that they're not aware of does not absolve you from responsibility for paying if you purchase the property at a sheriff's auction.
Mm-hmm.
If you buy it through a real estate agent who's selling it as a foreclosure, those liens are all taken care of by the bank that has the mortgage on the property before you get title to the property. So it's a lot cleaner. It's just a matter of your understanding what your financial limitations are, what your search parameters are, and what you can handle on a monthly basis in the way of a payment. Once you have those things under your belt, it's just a matter of identifying the property and going to close.
Well, you know, I've always wanted to, you know, ask this question. I'm so glad, Mr. Bill, that you are here on this show today, because I always wanted to know this, and I can't thank Patricia Martin enough. She just goes out and gets the greatest guests on the show. But and we're definitely going to get, you know, any information from you in a moment. But I always wanted to know, it seems to me that, okay, you have your real estate, you have people who are real estate agents. Is that the proper term?
Correct.
Okay. And then you have a person who, you have houses that have been built, whether they've been commercially built or they're owned by a commercial company or they're owned by an individual who's looking to sell. All right. And then you have a lot of homes. I mean, a lot of places. Okay. Then you have individuals who may want to get a home. May want to purchase a house. They may be living in an apartment. Maybe they need a home. They have children, what have you. But why does it seem as though it's not a connection? In other words, to me, I'll see tons and tons of empty houses, okay? homes that are not yet sold. No one's occupying these houses. Sometimes new developments. But then I see individuals who want to purchase a home and can't. It seems like something's wrong with that picture. I mean,
like there's a disconnect. Well, there is a disconnect right now in the industry.
Okay.
The pendulum has swung to the far right in that they are being very ultra-conservative about how they're approaching the lending of new money, money for new loans, excuse me. But in the instance of properties being vacant, initially the lien holders were taking a very aggressive approach to implementing foreclosure proceedings to get people out of the homes. I guess they thought that the market was such that they would be able to sell them. Right now, they understand that that is not the case. It was a hard lesson learned. So that's why you have a number of properties sitting there vacant, in addition to the fact that there are more homes than there are buyers who are looking for them. So you're going to continue to see that situation. Now, as it relates to people who want to buy homes, not being able to buy them, credit restrictions have become much more restrictive in the last 2 years. You used to be able to buy a home with maybe a 555-60 FICO score through the FHA program. Now you need a 620 FICO score to buy a home. And the down payment used to be 3%. It's now 3.5%. So there are some restrictions there that do not allow people to acquire property much the way they did in years past. And I'm not just talking about 4 or 5 years ago. 20 years ago, you could have purchased a home with 3% down with a 560 FICO score through the FHA program. But as a result of all of these foreclosures, the FHA program has changed. And so you need a much higher credit score, and you need a larger down payment. Conventional financing is even more restrictive, 5% down, and upwards of a 680 FICO score. So it has become more challenging for those who do not have good credit to be able to get a loan to buy property. That should not be a deterrent. There are credit counseling agencies out there that are nonprofits that do not charge, where individuals who are struggling to get their credit together can get professional guidance to do so. And once they have their credit together, there is money out there to help them to acquire the home. So, for example, if someone wanted to buy a home in Union County offers a grant up to $25,000 that they will give to a prospective home buyer who qualifies to buy a home. The grant does not have to be paid back if they stay in the home for, I think it is a minimum of 5 years. But if they leave prior to that, then there's a prorated amount that they have to pay back. If you were buying in Elizabeth, they're up to $45,000. Places like East Orange and Newark are $10,000 to $15,000. So there's money to be had for those who don't have quite enough money. You simply have to ensure that you have the credit to be considered for a loan, then you can apply for those grants. In all instances, it's recommended that they have home buyer counseling, which basically gives them an overview of the buying process, the various players on their team that will be instrumental in helping them to acquire property, as well as how to finance the home and understanding how to put together their budget. And also now they're even adding components on property maintenance because, as you mentioned earlier, so many people are coming from apartments, and in a number of instances they're coming from a situation where every generation prior to them has been a renter as opposed to a homeowner. So it's important for them to understand once they acquire the property that it's incumbent upon them to maintain it, not only to know that theoretically, but to understand what maintenance entails so that they become sustainable homeowners, not just financially, but also in terms of maintaining the property.
Awesome, awesome. So thank you for answering that burning question. Boy, that's been a question in my mind for years. But now here's the other part two of that question. Give me if you can, a quick scenario. We have 20 minutes left to the show. What a great credit, a good credit, or a credit enough that it can get you a home loan in these situations, like you said, in the Union County or the Plainfield area or Union, wherever, where it might be get a $20,000 grant, and I think you said Elizabeth, $40,000, Newark, $10,000, and $15,000. What would be a good, and especially for a person who may have had a very low credit score, maybe less than 5-something, And what's a good credit score, and how long would it take from the time they have the bad credit score how much time do they need to show with the good credit score, and is there any income for at least for this state where people should be? Because, you know, I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio, and I remember in Cincinnati, Ohio, when I first moved to New Jersey and you know, started to buy my house, rather, not when I first moved here, but about 15 years ago, and the amount that I had to look at for a mortgage and a mortgage and a monthly payment, my girlfriend in Cincinnati, her mortgage payment was like $600 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, my mortgage payment here in New Jersey was like in the thousands.
Right.
And I'm like,
right.
What? So anyway, so in New Jersey, what would a good income look like in terms of a steady income that you should have at least this amount, if you can share that with us?
Okay. Well, first of all, the credit score should be no less than 620, no matter what type of loan you're going for. The lowest credit score that will be considered is a 620, and the best product for someone at that score level would be an FHA loan, because from there it goes up. So 620 would be your base in terms of your credit score. Now, as far as it relates to what type of how long you have to have good credit, the credit, there's no timeline requirement for good credit. You just have to have the good credit at the time that you apply. What does good credit mean? Well, the 620 FICO score. If you're having some challenges right now, the best way to get to that point, as I said, is to Google free credit counseling on the internet and find a service that's local to you where you can go and get the counseling. Some of the things they'll advise you to do is to take out a credit card that's secured, so maybe $200 or $300 line of credit where you put $200 or $300 on deposit with the bank. Some tips they'll give you along those lines is that you should never spend more than 30% of your line of credit. Never spend more than 30%, because even if you have lines of credit, credit cards, revolving charges that you pay on time, but every month you max out, you're not going to have a favorable credit score, because it looks as though you are using credit to live on as opposed to the occasional need. And that's what the interpretation is, that credit is there for an occasional need, not for your daily living expenses. So buying groceries and taking care of your dry cleaning and buying gas and running the credit card up to its max every month is not a positive thing. They look for you to have no more than 30% of that line used at any given time. So, for example, if you have a $300 line of credit on your credit card, they're looking for you not to spend any more than $100 at any given point in time. Now, there are, for people who are strapped and it's difficult to accommodate that rule, that unwritten rule, there are ways to get around that. If you have to use your credit card in that respect, because you just simply are tight on cash, as long as you pay the full balance before they send you an invoice, before the end of the cycle. So let's say your cycle ends on the 28th and you're using your credit cards to the max and you have the cash to pay. You just don't have the cash at the time that you need to make the purchase or pay the rent or whatever it is that you're doing. Then if the cycle ends on the 28th of the month, try to pay the bill off on the 20th of the month, because by the time they run the invoices that they're going to send you to make payment, you'll have a zero balance. And that'll be much more favorable than you're carrying that balance till the end of your cycle and then getting a bill from them showing that you are maxing out your credit cards. So there are little ways of getting around that. As far as the price of the cost of the home on a monthly basis in the way of a mortgage payment, that all depends on your income. There are people who can buy something today, a one-bedroom condo in some communities, you can get for $60,000. And if you're making $30,000 or $25,000, that could be doable. Because, again, in some communities, you're eligible for that $10,000, $15,000, or $25,000, $45,000. So it doesn't matter what your income level is. The loan officer that you're working with will help you identify, based upon your debts and your income, what is a comfortable monthly payment for you. And based on that monthly payment, they'll be able to tell you how much property you can buy in the way of dollars. So, for example, you know, they'll sit down and look at your debt, look at your income, come up with a monthly payment, and then from that monthly payment, based upon the area that you want to live in, they can back out the taxes and come up with a mortgage payment, a purchase price. And that purchase price then is applied to the community that you're looking at, and you identify the property that falls within that price range, and you're able to buy. So the price, the monthly payment depends upon price of the property,
okay.
as well as your credit level or credit rating,
okay.
because that's going to impact your interest rate.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone can
okay.
buy. Even someone at $25,000, $20,000, they can buy if they are realistic about what their buying power is.
Okay. Wonderful. So then do you also conduct seminars and to help people understand all this? Because, Bill, this is just not, like, information that the average person knows.
Right, right. We do
or
conduct,
can even
seminars.
Get. Okay. Mm-hmm.
We conduct seminars at ERA Queen City Realty. We also do Spanish language seminars. In fact, we have one coming up on the 14th. At ERA Queen City Realty, which will be a Spanish language program. However, we're constantly doing workshops and seminars to inform the consumer about what their options are and how to best navigate the real estate landscape in today's market, which is kind of challenging because we've never had one like this before. Yes, we do conduct workshops for them. We also, as I said, are there for those who are facing difficulty in selling their home. As the manager of the short sale division, what we strive to do is to help them put together a market plan whereby we can sell the property that's upside down. And by upside down, I mean they owe more on their mortgage than the property is worth. And that's not the sole reason that they're selling. They're selling because if it's a couple and one has lost their job and they needed both jobs to make the payments, it's a financial hardship. If someone is ill and has been hospitalized and is on serious medication where they can't work, that's a hardship. If someone is divorced or separated from a partner and they were relying on those funds, they're no longer available, that's a hardship. And so the hardship, on top of the fact that the property is no longer worth what you paid for it, creates the opportunity for a short sale. Once we get the property sold under contract, we then help with transitional housing to identify a landlord that will allow them to rent, because most landlords are going to want to see the credit score. They look at the credit score and they say, oh, my God, you know, you've tanked down to 430, 520. If you don't pay your mortgage payment for a property that you own, how can I expect you to pay the rent that I'm asking on a monthly basis? So we work with landlords to educate them about what's happening in the marketplace, why people are finding themselves in the situations they're finding themselves in, and explain to them that, you know, their circumstances did not allow for them to honor their commitment on their mortgage, but it was beyond their control. And what they can't afford now is the rent on this apartment. So we help to get them transitional housing, and then we help to get them into credit counseling so that within 18 months down the road, hopefully they have their finances in order. Now, that may not mean that they're making the money that they made 10 years ago, but whatever money they're making, they're budgeting it properly, they're putting something aside, even if it's only $5 a paycheck, but they're in the mode, they're in the zone of handling their financial affairs and on the road to recovery, no matter what the experience was that caused them to find themselves in the hardship. So that's what we do in the short sale division. And we do that primarily for people who are struggling to keep a primary residence. Lenders are now beginning to work with those who have investment properties because initially they did not provide any assistance to those who were having difficulty with investment properties. But because of the economy, you can have your own home and maybe three or four or even five or more rental properties, but all your tenants in each property, you may have tenants who are having financial difficulties. They can't pay the rent. And so it encumbers you so that you now can't make the mortgage payments on time.
Right.
And so you need some assistance as well in order to keep them from going into foreclosure. So the lenders are now turning the corner and understanding that it's not just an issue of you're having too many properties as much as it's really a condition relative to the marketplace and the economy at large. That's what's really driving the foreclosure and short sale market right now, the economy.
Wow, that is so great information. So how do you see the housing market right now, understanding that housing and house buying is definitely one of the economic indicators in terms of, you know, how well our economy is doing or how well it's not doing? So how do you see it,
being that you're in
this field?
We're not doing well, and as far as the economy is concerned. And the projections are, that we're not going to be doing well for another 4 years or so. They're anticipating that we may begin to see a turnaround at the end of 2015. Now, what does that mean? For people who are looking to rent apartments, you need to understand very clearly that you could wind up paying more for an apartment on a monthly basis than you can a mortgage. Because with all of the young people wanting to come out of their homes that they're living in with their parents, with all of the people who want to downsize and go into an apartment as opposed to continue to own a large home, and with all of the people who are facing foreclosure and doing short sales and coming out of their homes and needing apartments, the demand for apartments is up. Consequently, the rents are going up, have gone up, and will continue to go up. So for those who are looking at apartments, you need to seriously consider the option of buying a property because the rates are still at an all-time low, and you can get properties for... I'm selling a property now for $55,000, a two-family, three bedrooms each apartment. You know, not every deal is like that, but there are deals out there that are like that. And so
that's dirt cheap. That's
dirt,
a steal.
That's dirt cheap. And so
that's like, you know, if you don't get that, man, we're in trouble.
Somebody
maybe I need to move.
Somebody making $30,000 or $40,000 could buy that. They could live in one unit and rent the other unit out. The other unit can more than cover the mortgage because it's going to be relatively small. You figure at today's interest rate, you're probably looking at maybe $250 some odd just for the mortgage on that. Then if you add the taxes, you know, you're probably up to maybe $500 and change. With insurance, you're probably up to $600 to $700. So, you know, for a three-bedroom apartment, you can probably get anywhere from, depending upon whether utilities are included or not, you can get anywhere from $900 to $1,200. So you can see how very quickly with that math, you can have a place that takes care of itself, and that's the ideal situation. And so this is the time to strike while the iron's hot. There are projections that, you know, the Feds are moving to try to get the interest rates up. That doesn't bode well for those who, you know, qualify for a $55,000 purchase. So, you know, if you're really serious about being a homeowner, you need to explore the possibilities now. If you have apprehension, then you need to go through the home buyer counseling program so you can alleviate those fears and move forward and empower yourself and build some financial wealth. So, you know, and for those who are struggling to sell their home, because there are people who want to sell who are not upside down. You have people who are retired, for example, or who paid cash, and they're at the stage in their lives where they don't want the house anymore. They just want to sell. They may have a very small mortgage or no mortgage at all. The news for them is that prices are going to continue to go down, projected through 2015. The longer you wait take action, the less likely you are to get what you are looking for. If you are looking for something now that's not possible by waiting, it's going to become even more impossible to get. So if you need to sell, if you want to sell, now's the time to sell as opposed to waiting. If you want to buy, you need to buy now before the market changes, prices start to elevate and interest rates elevate, then that locks you out of certain communities, certain price ranges, and you thereby limit your options by sitting on the fence and not making the decision to move forward. There are some communities, not many, but some communities where they are starting to see the prices inch up a bit, primarily because when something comes on the market in a neighborhood that's very desirable and fairly decent condition, you have multiple offers. We are having multiple offers on properties. So, you know, you want to keep that in the back of your mind that you want to get out there and try to avail yourself so that you don't find yourself in a situation where you're competing with 10 other people for one property.
Wow. Well, we're going to get your contact information if you'd like to share it in just a second. But I'm just, as I was listening to you talk about, you know, interest rates being low, and so that's a good time to purchase, and yet they're not, you know, they're going to go lower, so it's a good time to also sell. So is this one of the rare times in history that we've had what it sounds like to me is both a buyer and a seller's market?
Well, it's really still a buyer's market. It's not a seller's market, primarily because even though you may not owe much on your home or anything on your home, you're not able to sell it today for what you could have sold it for 5 years ago. And you're going to be able to sell it for less next year than you are able to sell it for this year. And here's why. It's just not words that I'm just saying. One of the problems we have in New Jersey is that when they started the foreclosure proceedings, when they meaning the lenders, started to foreclose on the properties where people couldn't pay anymore. They were going through a process whereby they were just rubber stamping the documents and not really reviewing them, signing off on them according to the letter of law. The Attorney General in the state of New Jersey decided that was enough. You need to do it according to the letter of the law. If you haven't been and you're not doing it now, then we're going to stop the process. So they stopped the process about mid-November. And about the middle of March, they were ready again to allow the lenders to proceed with foreclosure proceedings as long as they did it to, according to the letter of the law. What that did was, that period of time created a backlog of foreclosure, potential foreclosures. Right now, we have 3.5 years' worth of properties that are going to be foreclosed on or have begun to be foreclosed on that have not come to the market yet for sale. So if no one else in this state wanted to sell their home, we have enough property to sell for 3.5 years that's in foreclosure. Now, when that property comes to market, it's going to add to an already burdensome situation. As you mentioned earlier, as you drive around, you see vacant homes. Well, there are going to be more vacant homes. And the more vacant homes there are that are put on the market, the more foreclosed homes, the more short sale homes, the lower the prices will be driven. And so as these 3.5 years of inventory comes on the market, your property value is going to go down. So if you need to sell now, you need to put it on the market now.
Yeah, because you have too much supply and not enough demand. So
Exactly. Wow, we have the dubious honor in New Jersey of having the highest real estate taxes in the nation. People who live in states neighboring New Jersey are aware of that. So New Jersey is sometimes not on their list of consideration. Someone who wants to get out of New York isn't necessarily looking at New Jersey, depending upon their income, because they realize that we are the highest taxed state in the nation for real estate taxes.
And why is, anyway, that would be another show, and we only have a couple minutes left. So we're going to have somebody kind of come on here and explain to us why. Anyway, that'll be another show. We'll talk about the economy and the taxes for the state of New Jersey. It's ridiculous. But you have been such a big help. The show is going to be in archives in probably 20 minutes or so. And so I'm going to definitely be referring people to come back and listen to this show. I think it's some good information. You speak very, powerfully about the fact that this is a great time for some and not so great for others, but better than what it could be.
Yes.
And certainly people need to get to thinking differently, change their mindsets about, like you said, the renting and understanding what it takes to buy, maintaining a home, going to those classes and training where you can learn. But thank you so much for coming on. And now you can give us your contact information, any information that you want to share with us at this point.
I'm with ERA Queen City Realty. We're at 310 Park Avenue in Scotch Plains, New Jersey. My direct line is 908-490-2038. That's 908-490-2038. My cell phone, 908-531-4979. That's 908-531-4979. And again, that's Bill Collins, ERA Queen City Realty. If you want to email me, I'm at wcc45@aol.com.
Okay, wcc45@aol.com. Nice and sweet. Well, we want to thank each and every person for tuning in. Thanks to those of you who are in the chat room on the switchboards, those of you who are listening via other RSS feeds. We appreciate you. Thank you again, Mr. Bill. Can't thank you enough for sharing that valuable information with us. Thank you to Pat.
Thank you.
Yes, everyone have a great day. Don't forget, celebrate Mother's Day with someone very, very special this weekend. Enjoy it. And Mr. Bill, I hope that in the near future we can have you back on because really this is some good information and great discussion as well. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Happy Mother's Day.
Oh, thank you so much. Okay, everyone, enjoy. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you back on Coach Lalisa on Monday. Take care.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach Lalisa Show. but we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coastal Lisa Show could be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach Lil Lisa J. Williams.